We come now to our scripture today, which is found on page, oh, I don't know what page, but it's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Again, you're welcome to follow along on the screen or in your pew Bible. Now, let's pray before we do this. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love in our lives. We thank you for those things that you give to us that help us maintain the path. For you, Lord, desire us to draw closer to you. And your word shows us this very clearly. We thank you, Lord, for being with us, for loving us, and for helping us with your word. Prepare hearts and minds to receive this, that we may honor you, we may be more yours, and know you all the more. We thank you for your gracious love, and we also pray for your mercy to be on the sermon, that it too may be used for your glory. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Hear now God's word. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How many of you are runners? How many of you used to be runners? Yeah, a little bit, here and there. Running is extremely good for you. Hard on the knees sometimes, but it is good cardio. And helps you get stronger, helps you, you know, go further, all that kind of stuff, gets your joints all limber. But like running for fun, like the fun run, that's oxymoron. Those two words don't go together very easily, run and fun. Not me, you. That's what I was, yeah. They do. It runnings now, but it's needed, or it's a part of our life. We were built for it in a lot of different ways. And again, running has been throughout history for forever. And in Paul's scripture today, run the race. He says, I ran in track. I shared this with you before. When I was a freshman, I ran the two miles. And then when I was a sophomore, I ran the 1 mile. And then when I was a junior, I ran the half mile. And then when I was a senior, I ran the quarter mile. I just kept getting smaller. And now that I'm 45, I don't run. Not very often at all. But running is essential and even important at times in our lives. When you and a friend are walking out in the woods come upon a mother bear and her cubs, what should you do? Faster than your partner. You run faster than your friend, and then you'll be fine. You don't have to worry about this. But running, especially when we run with our friends or we run with an audience, then it can be fun. Then it can be enjoyable. You get spurred on a lot quicker. When me and a friend of mine, Scott, we would run in the Spartan and the Tough Mudder, which is obstacle course races, and they're like 5K, 10K, and I think we did a 15K. Everyone around you is on the same team. They want you to finish. We were running with someone, and we were almost done. We only had like a mile or two left, and he threw up all over the ground. It's complete exhaustion. And everyone was coming up behind him and saying, "You got this. You can do this." And they gave him more food, which, you know, when you throw up, you just want to eat again, right? Not really. It was just encouragement the entire way. No one said, "You should quit. You should stop. Go lay down." They said, keep going. And so through the Christian walk that we have, we have this great cloud of witnesses who do just that. And for the scripture, the cloud of witnesses are David, Paul, John, James, Peter, all those who came before us. But they're not limited to just that. The cloud of witnesses are also those who came before us. Our grandparents, our friends, those who helped establish this church. And they're enjoying Christ's presence. They're enjoying being in heaven with Jesus, and they want us there too. When you have, and you're in such a great place, or experiencing such a good thing, there's nothing better than sharing that. And there they stand, waiting for us, loving us, cheering us on. This woman I'm very fond of talking of, I bring her up quite a bit because she was such an inspiration and an encouragement in my own life in ministry. Eileen Mosley has since passed a few years ago. At the age of 82, she ran her foot over with a lawnmower. You've heard this story before. And needed amputated from here down. And I went and I spoke to her while she was learning how to walk all over again. And I asked her how she was, and she said, "Pastor, I've never been more blessed in my life than I am in this moment." And it was such a head scratcher. She lost a foot, she had to walk all over again, and yet she was praising God every single day, thanking God for this moment, not to take it away, not to give her foot back, but thanking God for helping her through. And Eileen, and with God's grace and with Christ praying for us, is still encouraging me every day of my life, her memory, her spirit. We have that too in our lives, be it a mother, a father, a friend, a grandparent, who's encouraging us and wanting us to share a place with them in Christ. And as we look at this great cloud of witnesses, we also have this in our Methodist history, a cloud of witnesses who encourages us and helps us and wants to see us through. Now, we've talked about John Wesley. We're talking about him just a little bit more today. But I want to talk first about his dad, Samuel Wesley. Samuel Wesley was a pastor in the Anglican Church, served a small church in Epworth, just a country church, not very big at all. In fact, we got to walk through that parsonage, which still stands, although it's not used as a parsonage any longer. Samuel Wesley's dad was a pastor. Samuel Wesley's grandfather was a pastor. He came from a long line of Christians who served God, and his wife, Susanna, whom he married, also loved God. They were very serious Christians and loved God with their whole heart, that Susanna Wesley, when her kids were able to speak, she taught them and made them recite the Lord's Prayer. They were reading the Bible by age five. Susanna Wesley had 19 children. 19 children. And I see a lot of people like grimacing, like, wow, that's a lot. But I mean, I have two children. They were easy for me. So, I mean, I could have 19 with no problem. But she had 19 children. I know, that's not very nice of me. She had 19 children. Only 10 of them made it to adulthood. John Wesley was child number 15, and Charles Wesley was child number 17. And she taught them to love God every day. They had to read the Bible two hours a day. Susanna Wesley knew Latin and Greek, and taught her kids the same. When John Wesley was 5 years old, five or nine, can't remember which, he almost died in the parsonage fire. Parsonage caught fire one winter through the stove, and the whole house burnt down, and John Wesley was somehow miraculously saved. Susanna Wesley dedicated his life to God from that point on, and referred to him by scripture, Zechariah 3:2, which says that he is a log snatched from the fire. From that point on, she made sure that he had the best schools, private schooling, and I think at the age of 20s, somewhere in his 20s, he became a pastor, served with his dad for a couple of years, figured that wasn't for him, and then taught. John Wesley was 5'3" tall. Anyone 5'3"? 5'3", there's my mom. So just measure her, 5'3", and he weighed 128 pounds most of his life. A little man who wasn't worried about his stature because he knew that God would guide him through life. In fact, there's one story where there was this, that's what it was, I told it wrong at the other church, but it was a mob that came after John Wesley, came after him, and a big man in the mob was intimidating Wesley, or at least trying to do so, and he pushed him inside the house, and the man came with him, and there was great confusion and a huge ruckus, and everyone started throwing stones inside the house. And this man got hit in the head from a stone, and he got so scared of what was going on that he cowered behind Wesley, because Wesley was standing straight up and tall, trying to talk sense to people there. From the moment that he joined the Holy Club to his death, John Wesley served the Lord with great fervor that few people could live up to that. Throughout John Wesley's life, when he joined the Holy Club, England was in such a state that Christianity was a thing, but it wasn't in vogue, in style. Their disciplined Christianity stood in sharp contrast to the English culture of the 18th century, where many of the clergy and wealthy lady worshipped with their eyes closed to the social crises around them. With the Industrial Revolution, people ended up in mines. Children were working long hours. And so when John Wesley was barred from preaching in a church, he would go off to the mines, to the factories, into the fields with the farmers, and he'd preach there. His favorite time for preaching was 5 a.m., which is awful time. But when the workers got up for work, they started working at 6. And so he was able to meet them when they were all going to work and preach to them. John Wesley still struggled with great doubt in his life about his own faith until 1738. John describes his experience as this. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About a quarter before nine, while the leader was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. Even after that moment, however, he still doubted God on occasion and still called himself the worst of all sinners. But he still preached and he still sang. Now, in your United Methodist hymnal, there's a advice from John Wesley on how to sing. Do you know it? Anyone know it off by heart? To sing lustfully. And with great courage, to sing with enthusiasm, and not caring who sees or knows it, because of course we're not singing for each other, we're singing for Christ. John Wesley was a brilliant organizer. He had small groups, and these small groups were established by the thousands in England, Wales, Ireland, and in the American colonies. During his lifetime, John Wesley traveled 250,000 miles on horseback. And like I said before, fell off his horse several times doing that. And he preached over 40,000 sermons. By the time he died, he left over 400 preachers, almost 80,000 Methodists in England, and 50,000 Methodists in the United States. And as John Wesley was on his deathbed, surrounded by his friends, he said this: "The best of all is this, that God is with us." That was his life. John Wesley now is part of that cloud of witnesses cheering us on, spurring us to the finish, that as we run, and running is such an apt metaphor because it's difficult. It has its ups and downs. It's not easy. There are times we want to quit. But we have a crowd of witnesses that, and friends running beside us, helping us to get to that finish line, to stand before Jesus Christ, to be able to hear what God has to say to us: "Well done, good and faithful servant." Don't quit, because there are people who are helping you, cheering you on, and spurring you on to the end. So that when you meet your end, and you're with Jesus Christ, then you too will cheer your children, your grandchildren, your friends, and Christians from here on out. Because boy, we want that place packed, worshiping God and loving one another forever. And I thank God for that. I close today with this prayer. Thank you, my Lord, for this time of rest and nourishment. Now send us to our station. Help us that we neither slip nor wander from the road that you have marked out for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go in peace.